I'm Fred Hickernell, and my wife Teresa was also on, she was a student when I gave this course a good many years ago at our Baptist church. And this was a course for adults on science and Christian faith. And as we go along, I suspect that there will be this is the church that it was presented in, and down here was the place the church Sunday school class where I presented it. It was an 8-week course, and it occurred on a Monday of eight successive.
2006.
No. That's a more recent picture of the church. Anyways, you'll notice the date, 1975. These were Wednesday night forums. Oh, I said Monday, didn't I? Okay. Let God's light refresh your life. Wednesday night, spring forums. And they occurred over eight successive weeks. These were the topics. And there are various topics on there that were presented at the church, but the faith in the physical world was the one that I presented, and my wife was the student at it. Okay, this is the excerpt from the spring forums, and I'll read that. It was entitled Faith in the Physical World. Science and faith mutually enrich and complement one another. This harmony is achieved by accepting the basic tenets of Christianity and by keeping an open attitude to all aspects of science. Now, this was to a church-related group. The course should be helpful to those who fear and distrust modern science as an obstacle to Christian faith, and equally to those who have abandoned vital aspects of Christianity because of their views of science. And the purpose of the course was to gain a perspective of what science does, to discuss scientific and biblical perspectives, to let the students participate in some scientific calculations, and I'll get to that shortly, and data gathering, to ask the students to gather cartoons which portray scientific and biblical truth. This was an interesting aspect of this particular course, and to present a balanced view of what science and scripture tells us. I've used two Bible verses here. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied or pondered by all who delight in them. And that's from Psalm 111:2. And from Psalm 25:9, the Lord teaches the humble in his way. There was the introduction, the outline of this presentation, the introduction to the course, which in a sense I've already introduced. The students and their backgrounds, which I'll give you more information on, the topics chosen, the homework. The topics chosen were determined by the class, which was an interesting aspect. The homework, which I'll talk about later, and the course summary, course discussions, comments, and concluding remarks. The students were members of the church, and they came from various work backgrounds. The ages varied from the 20s, it was interesting, into the 70s. A total of 30 were enrolled and attended one or more sessions. 12 were in attendance for all 8 weeks, which was an interesting aspect of it. 18 were in attendance for the first session, and 15 filled out the first questionnaire. The questions I asked: look in the Bible for things which could be interpreted as scientific pronouncements. And that's very difficult for them to encourage them to do, but there may be some that they find there. What was the stage of development of science at the time of Jesus? What questions should science be answering for you? And what questions do you expect Scripture to answer? Are some of them the same questions? The questions they ask, and this was very interesting, are many scientists Christians? Does scientific knowledge strengthen faith? Can science bring a person closer to God? Can science be used to prove religious miracles? These are the questions that they ask. Can evolution and creation be related? Which is supreme? And this was an interesting question. Science or religion? Is the universe infinite? And we had a course example that they were, it was like homework for them to determine the age of the universe, which I'll get to. Were Adam and Eve cave people? And do you believe in flying saucers? So these were some of the questions that were asked. There were more asked, but I put down some of the, maybe some of the, hopefully the more interesting one. So we talked about the physical reality, the nature of science, Christian faith, the nature of Christianity, persons of faith and science, and it's interesting that a lot of the people who were early scientists were also persons of faith. And I will give a list of those. Natural and biblical revelation, the Hebrew Christian influence on science, Christianity and science in conflict, the origin of universe and man, selective topics from science and Christianity, and the class presentations. This was an 8-week, 2-hour class with a break in between, and so I could cover all of these various topics. Remember, the time was 1975, so this is much earlier than what a lot of the topics that have been discussed today. Okay, science goals were given to them under the following topics, and the class filled out the Christian perspective. Goal, scope, purpose, and tools, method, development, fact, and law, basic assumptions, and the human habit, or the human element and habit. These were filled out under the science goals were filled out by myself, and they filled out the Christian perspective. So we came up with these basic science perspectives and Christian perspectives. In the science, the respect for the laws of the natural world, and then in the Christian perspective, respect for God and His laws. Appeal to experience appeared on both lists, and the hypothesis, abstraction, and observation of science, and respect for individuals in terms of the Christian aspect, and statistics and vulnerability, and love, forgiveness, joy, peace, and patience and kindness, which is the Christian perspective. Basic assumptions, science, physical reality exists and is objectively observable. Physical reality is consistent, for example, logic applies, and causal relationships exist. In Christianity, God is real and in our lives, God's laws are consistent, which is similar to what was the second one on the science list. And Christ's example of love can exist in our world is third on the Christianity list. We looked at personality, communications, ethics, community, and faith in terms of science and Christianity, and I'll not comment too much about these, but certainly they are important in both the science and in Christianity. Scientists who were professing Christians, and there's quite a list here, to some extent, they represent a large portion of those who gave us some of the important rules or laws of physics. And you can kind of look at the list there. Now, we got down to the homework assignment, and this was interesting because this, my wife and I, used different simple examples of what it meant to in terms of the homework assignment. And this particular assignment from the tabular data of distance, and this is in 1975, in megaparsecs, 1 megaparsec equals 3 million light years, and the velocity of recession in kilometers per second, V, calculate Hubble's constant. H is given as V equals HR. This was a simple formula. And from that to estimate the age of the universe, which is 1 over H. I wanted to contrast that to Bishop Usher's estimate of 6,000 years. And it was interesting that Bishop Usher originally calculated the world began on or about October the 23rd at 9 a.m. in 4004 B.C. And draw a picture of the universe from Genesis 1. Okay, this was the data we had at the time, and this is the calculation that my 70-year-old lady made. And this was the H equals 74 kilometers per second per milliparsec, or megaparsec, and she calculated T equal 12.6 billion years. I think the accepted value now is 13.7 about, and I thought that was pretty close.
For a 70-year-old,
and the fact that we had limited data at that that time. But here's the calculations there. The faith in the physical world, kind of the historical background, and we covered a lot of this, was from the early, from the Greek early thought through Nicholas Copernicus to Charles Darwin. Man learned not to impose his beliefs upon nature, but instead to ask questions of her and apply reason to her answers. And I thought this was an important part of the course. Okay, this is the assignment through the course was to collect articles from cartoons and newspapers and magazines which related to faith in the physical world. These are various cartoons that were collected from the local newspaper. It's interesting that Moses is standing there. I think they'd be go over better if we called them voluntary guidelines rather than the Ten Commandments. This particular cartoon, and these were brought in by various people, and I collected some of them, so I'm not sure which ones were which. Answers from the Wizard of Iz, "What are you in for? I robbed an entire hotel." "That's impossible. No one can rob an entire hotel." "But that's what the cops said. But I confessed on to them on a stack of Gideons, okay, of Bibles, okay. And from Dooley's word, it's hard to believe that that story about Jack and the beanstalk. How could a beanstalk grow that much in one night? Magic beans, okay. And there's a scientific explanation for everything. From Frank and Ernest, is there such a thing as reincarnation? With my luck, I'll probably come back as something extinct. Okay. And then these maybe are a little closer. The universe is expanding, so why be surprised that we are drifting apart? And in case of emergency, break glass. And I think this one was in 1982, but most of them were in 1975. This is familiar. I put this in because of all of the people from colleges that are here. When you said publish or perish, I naturally thought it was just a figure of speech. So it looks like he's being burned at the stake. And okay, and these were the titles of particular articles from newspapers and magazines with the following titles. They're in no particular order. Can a scientist believe in God? Technology and the quality of life, the challenge of creationism, extraterrestrial intelligence, where is everybody? Science, anti-science, and human values, faith versus reason, creationism, a battle evolves, and faith is more than a feeling. And these were the articles that the students brought in. It was interesting because at that time there was an industrial magazine for readers into the insight into sites for scientists. And the most important factor, and this is a scientific conference, was climate, good schools, tax and municipal services, recreation, and community attitudes. Can you imagine what were the least the least important factors? Church was listed as the least important factor. Well-stocked stores, repair and maintenance services, and these were the least important factors. So I gave them each a those who had been in the course attendance at least four times, and this was at a First Baptist Church, this was presented to each of the students. And I will close with these two quotations, one biblical and the other from a person of faith. A faith which does not continually examine and test its own assumptions is a dead faith. And from Ecclesiastes 11:7-9, do not find fault before examining the evidence. Think first and criticize afterwards. Do not answer without first listening, and do not interrupt when another is speaking. And that's the close of the talk.
I think you should tell them why you chose this talk.
Why you chose
to give the talk.
Oh, okay. That's my wife speaking.
Well, it's in the book, but I think there was a purpose.
Well, there was a purpose in terms the people of faith who, and I encourage this in not only in schools, which we've heard a lot about at these conferences, but also in churches.
Any questions you'd like to ask?
So you gave this course
35 years ago,
yes.
Repeated it since?
No. Even though I encourage...
Please do.
Right.
Any reason why you haven't?
Oh, well, I haven't because this was a time when the pastor, who was the pastor that was there, encouraged and promoted this 8 weeks
different
coursework. And so that's why I guess at that time I was encouraged by that fact.
I think we should do it again.
I do too.
It would be zeroing in on a little bit different
right.
ideas, I think.
Maybe that lady would come up with, rather than 12.4 billion years, she'd come up with 13.7.
Yes, please.
There's, I gave it this summer, there is a, it was recommended by the ASA, a Pathways to Truth. If you haven't seen that, we did it at our church, the pastor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Who would not have done that, but when you said that, it reminded me, he signed up to academies. And so I got a hold of Pathways to Truth. I purchased it, which is a religion and science course from the Methodists. The Wesleyan.
I think I've seen that.
I've heard about it from the ASA, and the course went over very well. We had 30.
Oh, okay.
For the first, and of course, then it dropped to 18. And as the summer's gone on, people have left.
Right.
So for how many weeks was it?
It's 9 weeks.
Oh, 9 weeks.
But
so
really
it's similar.
Once a week, one time.
Of course, and it had some of the your approach.
Did you do it Sunday mornings, or was it during the week?
We did it Sunday mornings.
Oh, okay.
And it's part of a ministry my wife and I are going to do to the whole Clear Lake, Texas area.
Mm-hmm.
Did I see another question over there? We have time for about one more.
We've done this kind of course at the Williamsburg Community Chapel in Virginia the last 10 years.
Oh, uh-huh.
2 years. We have a physicist, theoretical physicist, an MD who's interested in questions of stem cell research, that sort of thing, a psychologist, and I'm a biologist, and so we have done that.
Yeah, that good reception. Good. Good. Now, did you present in a sequential format? Or
it's in a Sunday school format.
Oh, it's in a Sunday school format. Oh, okay.
Over several weeks.
Oh, okay. Several weeks. Mm-hmm. Good.
Well, let's give our thanks to Fred.
Okay. Thank you. I laid your pen there, and yeah, you can...